once. Someone please stand up to Vorbis. I can't, but someone. He found his eyes swivelling towards Simony, who stood on the other side of Vorbis's chair. The sergeant looked transfixed, fascinated. Didactylos drew himself up to his full height. He half turned, and for a moment his blank gaze passed across Brother. The lantern was extended at arm's length.
No,
he said.
When every honest man knows that the world is a sphere, a perfect shape bound to spin around the sphere of the sun as man orbits the central truth of Om, said Vorbis, and the stars.
Brother leaned forward, heart pounding.
My lord,
he whispered.
What?
Snapped Vorbis.
He said no,
said Brother.
That's right, said Didactylos.
Vorbis sat absolutely motionless for a moment. Then his jaw moved a fraction, as if he was rehearsing some words under his breath.
You deny it?
He said.
Let it be a sphere, said Didactylos. No problem with the sphere. No doubt special arrangements are made for everything to stay on, and the sun can be another larger sphere a long way off. Would you like the moon to orbit around the world or the sun? I advise the world, more hierarchical, and a splendid example to us all.
Brother was seeing something he'd never seen before. Vorbis was looking bewildered.
But you wrote, you said the world is on the back of a giant turtle. You gave the turtle a name.
Didactylos shrugged.
Oh, now I know better, he said. Who ever heard of a turtle 10,000 miles long, swimming through the emptiness of space? Oh, for stupidity, I am embarrassed to think of it now.
Vorbis shut his mouth. Then he opened it again.
This is how an Ephebian philosopher behaves, he said.
Didactylos shrugged again.
It is how any true philosopher behaves, he said. One must always be ready to embrace new ideas. Take account of new proofs, don't you agree? And you have brought us many new points.
A gesture seemed to take in, quite by accident, the Omnian bowman around the room.
For me to ponder. I can always be swayed by powerful argument. Your lies have already poisoned the world. Then I shall write another book, said Didactylos calmly. Think how it will look. Proud Didactylos, swayed by the arguments of the Omnians, a full retraction. In fact, with your permission, Lord, I know you have much to do, looting and burning and so on. I will retire to my barrel right away and start work on it. A universe of spheres, balls, spinning through space. Yes, with your permission, Lord, I will write you more balls than you can imagine.
The old philosopher turned and very slowly walked towards the exit. Vorbis watched him go. Brother saw him half raise his hand to signal the guards and then lowered it again. Vorbis turned to the tyrant.
So much for your...
he began.
Cooey!
The lantern sailed through the doorway and shattered against Vorbis's skull.
Nevertheless, the turtle moves.
Vorbis leapt to his feet.
Aye!
He screamed and then got a grip on himself. He waved irritably at a couple of the guards.
I want him caught, now. And, brother?
Brother could hardly hear him for the rush of blood in his ears. Didactylos had been a better thinker than he'd thought.
Yes, lord? You will take a party of men, and you will take them to the library. And then, brother, you will burn the library.
Didactylos was blind, but it was dark. The pursuing guards could see, except that there was nothing to see by. And they hadn't spent their lives wandering the twisty, uneven, and above all many-stepped lanes of Ephebe.
8, 9, 10, 11,
muttered the philosopher, bounding up a pitch-dark flight of steps and hearing round a corner.
Whoa, ow, whoa, that was my knee,
muttered most of the guards in a heap about halfway up. One made it to the top, though. By starlight he could just make out the skinny figure bounding madly along the street. He raised his crossbow. The old fool wasn't even dodging, a perfect target. There was a twang. The guard looked puzzled for a moment. The bow toppled from his hands, firing itself as it hit the cobbles and sending its bolt ricocheting off a statue. He looked down at the feathered shaft sticking